June 12th, 1994. A night that would become infamous to many Americans. A night that even today, people still wonder what truly happened. All we know today is that someone who had been held up on a high pedestal, someone who was a celebrity, a hero, someone that the American people loved, was the prime suspect in a murder case. All that they knew was that their hero, O.J. Simpson, was now being accused of killing his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ron Goldman. Hi, I'm Gavin Onchando, and we're back on Forensics Files today looking at the case of O.J. Simpson. We'll look at how his DNA affected the case and how there's still discrepancies today about what truly happened. On the evening of June 12, 1994, events took place to where the neighbors would be awakened in the middle of the night to an alerted dog. The dog was covered in blood, and the neighbors soon would try to figure out what was the source of this and went to the neighbor's house. They called the police, and the police would find a brutal murder scene. Not only had Brown been murdered, but her friend Ron Goldman's dead body lay beside her. By this point, they started wondering if O.J. Simpson, her ex-husband, had anything to do with it. When they started looking into it, he had left just hours before and had just checked into a hotel in Chicago. By this point, they went to his house to see if there had been any evidence or anything that could tie him to the case. They discovered his blood-stained Bronco and a bloody glove that matched the one found near Goldman's body. With a search warrant in hand, the police searched Simpson's mansion to find even more blood traces on the property, including inside his Bronco. Returning to Los Angeles after being informed of Brown's death, Simpson arrived at his mansion where he is handcuffed and then taken to the police station where he's questioned for hours. By this point, there was a funeral that him and his family all attended. On June 17, 1994, many Americans would witness something altogether, even interrupting the NBA Finals. On this day, O.J. Simpson would become part of American history even more than he already was. Although he originally had promised to surrender to authorities, Simpson flees and becomes a fugitive. He later spotted off the freeway driving his white Bronco with his friend Al Cowling in the driver's seat. Fans had begun to line the freeway to cheer him on, supporting him and trying to help him. As helicopters followed Simpson's Bronco, an estimated 95 million people watched the 60-mile pursuit on TV. Simpson ultimately surrendered at his house a little before 9 and was arrested and thrown in jail without the possibility of bail. In the following days, OJ would plead not guilty. In fact, in his own words, he says he is absolutely 100% not guilty to any murder charges. At this point, the prosecution is looking not to pursue the death penalty and instead wants to put him in prosecution without any chance of parole. The next couple steps of this case were pretty crucial to its outcome. On November 3rd, 1994, the jury selection takes place. The initial jury is selected and is made up of 4 males and 8 females. 8 of the jurors are black, 1 Hispanic, 1 white person, and 2 mixed races. In the next couple months, many events would take place within the court, but it wasn't until January 18, 1995, when a big step would be moved forward for the defense. Johnny Cochran would become lead counsel for the defense. Cochran had numerous cases already under his belt and was already a prominent figure in the black community. At this time, Judge Ito also rules that the jury is allowed to hear evidence of Simpson's alleged domestic abuse towards Brown. The prosecution began its opening statement on January 24, 1994. Prosecutors Marsha Clark and Christopher Darden make passionate opening statements saying he killed her out of jealousy, Darden tells the jury. He killed her because he couldn't have her. The defense would respond with his opening statement on behalf of Simpson saying this case is about a rush to judgment and an obsession to win at any cost. In the following weeks, OJ also released a book trying to address you know, the letters and messages and questions that he received. Nicole Simpson Brown's sister took the stand and testified about how Simpson abused Brown, but it seemed that the jury didn't understand how it was relevant to the case at hand. The jury would also take a trip to Simpson's Rockingham home and Brown's house, now labeled a crime scene, on February 12, 1995. Evidence would be thrown in about how the first responding officer, Mark Furman, was a racist, and they tried to accuse him of tampering with the evidence. At this point, he tried to defend himself and said that he was not a racist and denied any claims of doing anything. However, as time would pass, more evidence would come to light proving that this was not exactly the truth. On April 4th, 1995, Dennis Fung confesses that crime scene wrongdoings took place. He's a criminologist and, while on the stand, said that proper protocols were not entirely enforced at the scene of the crime. On the famous June 15th, 1995 date, O.J. Simpson tried on the leather gloves that were found at the crime scene. When he put them on, he declared the famous statement, "Too tight." By this point, the case was pretty much coming to a close, and the defense presented its closing argument. Following the prosecution's closing argument the day before, Cochran delivers his closing argument to the jury with his famous phrase, "If it doesn't fit, you must acquit." And just like that, on October 3rd, 1995, O.J. Simpson was acquitted. Deliberating for less than 4 hours, the jury returned with a verdict of not guilty on two counts of murder. And to this day, Simpson is still a free man. It's interesting this because this case has layer upon layer upon layer of evidence from different different perspectives, with, you know, the evidence with the glove, the DNA left behind, the blood trail, the responding officer who was labeled a racist. This case has just many different perspectives that you can look upon it on, but ultimately, you know, the fact is two people were murdered and there's been no justice for them whatsoever. And to this day, nobody truly knows what happened that evening. All we know is that Simpson walked away free with no punishment or consequence whatsoever, and there hasn't been anything, new evidence, to reveal someone else was involved. So to this day, many people are still wondering what the truth is. Did that jury let a murderer go? Is a murderer out there walking free and still getting the fame of a celebrity today? No one truly knows what happened, but hopefully one day evidence will shed some light on this very dark case.